Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Sox. Members FDIC.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
The ball hit deep, way back! Deep to the field!
Holy cow! Carlton Fence has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark! You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast. All right, everybody. We're here for you. It's the White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust Community Bank, your home for White Sox checking. With free ATMs nationwide, go to the special White Sox webpage, www.wintrust.com/Sox. Chuck Arfine here with Ryan McGuffey, Vinny Duber. We are here at Camelback Ranch. This is not the podcast we wanted to do. This was always the possibility that it could happen this way. Manny Machado is going to San Diego. He's not going to the White Sox. We're going to hear from Rick Hahn on the podcast. We're going to hear from John Jay. But first, initial thoughts, starting with you, Ryan McGuffey, on Machado not coming to the South Side.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, there's no other way to spin it. When this process got to be this long and this infuriating at times for a lot of people, it's going to come at there's only two ways for it to end, with elation or complete just
devastation.
Devastation. Thank you.
There was no middle ground here.
And the reaction is what it is. You know, you're allowed to be upset and you're allowed to be pissed and you're allowed to criticize and critique. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's a San Diego Padre and the mystery team prevailed. And it was clear that Dan Lozano and Manny Machado got what they were looking for all along.
Yeah, let's put this in perspective here. So, and we're going to hear from Rick Hahn, who said, you know, their offer to Machado is superior in certain ways. So Ken Rosenthal has it as an 8-year, $250 million offer, which was higher in an AAV than the Padres' offer. It could have reached $350 million if all the options vested and every incentive was reached. But Machado took the $300 million guarantee from the Padres. It sounds like it was a $250 million guarantee for two less years with the White Sox, but could have gone all the way up to $350.
Yeah, the people complaining on Twitter that the White Sox didn't want to spend enough to win this derby are incorrect, because if the reports are accurate there, they promised the potential for more money than Manny Machado is going to receive from the Padres. Of course, $50 million guaranteed is a big number, and if Manny Machado goes out and suffers a broken leg as the day he reports to Padres camp, he's going to be $50 richer than he would have been had he come to the White Sox.
Yeah, so Kenny Williams said earlier in the day, you know, the Sox wouldn't go to 300. I think what he meant was the 300 guaranteed that the White Sox, that the Padres were willing to go to, because you could say, well, why don't they just make him a $300 million offer like the Padres did, but they chose to go a different route.
One important thing to note, too, and this is kind of unknown at this point, but we have not heard anything on what the White Sox did or did not promise in terms of an opt-out. The Padres contract reportedly has an opt-out after the fifth season. There's been no mention of that with the White Sox. As we've discussed on this podcast and in other formats many times, an opt-out for the White Sox doesn't make a lot of sense when you're building something that's supposed to be a perennial contender for a long time.
Let me say this. And I don't give a damn, really, to be honest with you, because I'm sitting here and I'm actually like letting it soak in. People can be – I'm done with hearing how cheap the White Sox are. I'm done. They were the second most aggressive team in all of baseball in landing Manny Machado. it wasn't $300 million. And I know it sucks. He won't be a White Sox. I know. I get it. And most of you are just saying, and I don't want to say most of you, but a lot of criticism fans, right now that's going on is that they should have just given him the other $50 million. Like, it's just, okay, just the other.
There's a ripple effect to doing that. If you give him $50 million, then in 2, 3, 4 years, that's money you can spend on somebody else.
And you were willing to go in some ways to 350. And so that the other, this was a 10-year, $350 million deal. That's what it was, with an 8-for-250 guarantee, with a lot of vesting with these vesting options, which he would likely hit, I'm sure, with games played. We don't know the details of the options, but please, for the don't point to me that the White Sox off their biggest contract in franchise history is 6-for-68 when we know that they have a $250 million offer with a $35 million annual average value per year deal with a guy, and he didn't take it. I get it. Look, I understand he went with the most guaranteed money. But all of you who want to cry wolf and like the White Sox are cheap, I'm sorry. I'm not buying that anymore.
Yeah.
Attack me on Twitter. Do whatever you want, but you're wrong.
So if you want to put it in perspective, I've brought this up before. The largest contract in the history of Chicago sports was the $184 million contract that Jason Hayward got with the Cubs. The White Sox offer to Manny Machado is roughly $70 million more in guaranteed money. That would have been almost $70 million, the richest contract offered by any Chicago sports team in the history of Chicago sports. So, I mean, they're not cheap. They just lost out in this situation. And yes, to coin the phrase that you just said, it sucks. Yep. Go ahead and be angry. Yeah, I'm pissed. I wanted him to be on the team. But we knew there was a chance this was not going to happen. So it sucks. I'm not going to tell you that, everything's rosy, but I'm also not going to say the rebuild is over and the Sox can't win in the future, but they're not going to have Machado.
Rick Hahn was emotional when he was talking. He was very visibly disappointed as he was saying that he was disappointed. I think that White Sox fans should be informed of the level of aggressiveness that this team had in pursuing Manny Machado. And you look, you heard what Kenny Williams said earlier today, talking about being stunned. And I mean, they might have been a little blindsided. Rick Hahn was talking about how well he felt when he went to bed last night. And obviously things change, as he mentioned. But they were very confident, it seems, at some point last night that they were going to get Manny Machado, perhaps as soon as today.
I don't think I'll ever forget the fact that I was the one who told Kenny Williams that Machado signed with the Padres. That was a little uncomfortable. But
is that going in your Twitter bio, Chuck?
No, that's not going to go in my Twitter bio. But, I mean, the situation was we were on the fields. I think Passan had it first.
Yeah.
And I see Kenny over there, and I wasn't sure what he knew or didn't know, and I go, so the word is he signed with the Padres, and he goes, well, I won't respond to that until I hear from his agent. And I think what had happened, and because Kenny didn't know only because he was out here, and I think he had contacted Hahn and told him, and then after I spoke with Kenny, he scurried into the facility here, and he got the word from Rick.
There was a lot of reaction on social media to Kenny Williams's comments earlier today about saying that when he was saying that the White Sox didn't want to go to $300 million, that level, that they needed to think about the future and that they needed to plan for building a team deep into the future when some of these prospects are going to be hitting big paydays. There was a lot of anger on that on Twitter. That is not an inaccurate thing to be concerned with. I mean, all you got to do is look to the other side of town and look to the Cubs, where they are coming up on a situation where they're not going to be able to afford to keep all of their core that they built for this championship era, if you can call it, with one World Series title so far. Guys like Chris Bryant, guys like Anthony Rizzo, guys like Javi Baez, their contracts are running out, and the Cubs are not going to be able to afford all those guys. The White Sox have an even larger group of those players that they hope can power that, including starting pitchers.
You can't worry about that, though. You can't look. If you're trying to get a guy now, I don't really – honestly, it may factor into a commitment you have 6 or 7 years down the line, but you can't use that as a viable excuse today for not landing a guy. So I'll refute that a little bit, because I just don't – like, fans don't want to hear, oh, we have to pay Aloy when he's 30 years old right now.
And I don't disagree with that. I think that's a very reasonable opinion to have, but I think what Kenny said is not wrong at the same time.
It's not wrong. Yeah. It's just a tough – I don't know if today – I don't know if today is the time that people want to hear that.
Right, right.
And
right.
Look, this is an emotional – Kenny didn't take his sunglasses off because he didn't want – what was the line? He didn't want to take
– You don't want to see the shock
in his eyes.
You want to see
the shock look in his eyes.
These guys, they've spent years putting this plan together, and they got to the finish line. They just never crossed it, and they got to the point where they actually, even Rick said when he went to bed last night, he was that optimistic, and when he couldn't sleep at 2 a.m., the pessimism started to creep in. But look, it's tough to put a microphone in front of a guy's face after he gets blown away with some shock and some and hurt. And the one thing I was a little and fans are getting crazy about this too is that they don't feel like they have. We have mixed reviews from Kenny and Rick in terms of what's said. Kenny putting the $300 million out there.
But he didn't elaborate. That was the problem there.
And I know. And maybe that's – look, again, it's people seeing Kenny Williams and throwing a mic in his face and saying, What is your reaction? And the exact same thing kind of happens for Rick. And so you guys have – I'm saying you guys because this is therapy for all of us, including me that's giving the message right now. But when you're hit with shock, whether – it's trying to sign Manny Machado or anything that could happen in your life, and somebody throws a microphone and says, respond, you don't – it sometimes it's out of your control how you're going to respond.
And you know what? And that's a lot of the tweets. Yeah. People are just venting and go – it's fine. If you're going to vent on Twitter or whatever, that's okay. I've seen a lot of them. I've read some of them. I've ignored most of them. But it's okay. You can send them to me. It's fine. I get it. I prefer you not send them to me. But I get it. It's okay. But if you would have told me yesterday that the White Sox made an 8-year, $250 million offer, I would have said they have a great shot at getting Machado. 8 years, 250. So what is that per year?
35
million. That would have been the second highest?
No, that's the most highest. Behind or ahead of Greinke.
That would have been the highest AAV.
Is that 35
or no? Let's do the math. Before we put that out there, we're going to check this out here.
No, that's not. Greinke's 32.5, I think. No.
Okay, this is
on the fly.
Yeah.
Why aren't you just doing 250 divided by 8?
Good, because I thought
I was
right.
Let's do that.
31.31 1/4.
All right, so it's still a lot, but it wouldn't have been the record. Anyway, let's hear from Rick Hahn, and this is what he said here.
It's still more, in fairness, than 10 for 300.
It is more. It's a higher AAV than what he's going to get.
And he was, whatever. I'm going to stop arguing numbers. It's not working.
Okay. Listen, when you go to therapy, you don't get all the answers in one session. This might take a few podcasts. So it might take, 5 podcasts. No, we're going to lay it all on the table in this podcast. If we ever need more White Sox Talk podcast therapy, we're going to do it again because we're here. Not only for you, we're here for each other. So let's hear from Rick Hahn. A lot of stuff here. Rick, you're not going to see his face, but you might hear in his voice, he's pissed, and rightfully so. So here's Rick Hahn at Camelback Ranch after finding out they did not get Manny Machado.
Obviously, extremely disappointed with the news that is out there. Frankly, the emotion right now is a little bit still raw. So I'm going to try to keep this somewhat brief. We said from the start that this rebuild was not going to be about one guy, that it was never going to be about one star, it was never going to be about one acquisition. There are certainly elements of this pursuit that, as an organization, I think we should be proud of. We should be proud of the aggressiveness and creativity of our offer. Which we were told not only was extremely competitive, but if the reports that are out there are accurate, was superior to what was ultimately accepted in certain ways. That said, this is free agency. These players have worked extremely hard to get to this point, and they have choices. In the end, deals of this length obviously are extremely complicated with various moving pieces. We're aggressive in trying to balance the length of control, the upside, the risk, the flexibility that a contract like this would provide, and in the end, we felt like we made a very compelling offer. Again, from the rawness and selfish standpoint, or my individual standpoint, trying really hard and failing is not sufficient. That said, taking a big picture view of this thing, I'm proud of the effort that the organization made. I'm proud of the effort that our marketing people, our digital communications people, our community relations, people, the baseball department, and all those straight on up through ownership did in this pursuit. This isn't the last time we're going to be pursuing premium talent. And we're not going to convert on all of them. Learned that lesson harshly today. But we aren't going to shy away from continuing to try to make this team better. And I know right now the trajectory remains good with or without any individual addition right now. We're going to be better opening day than we were at the end of last season. And we're going to be better at the end of this season than we were, than we're going to be on opening day. The trajectory continues to point upward, and we're going to continue to be aggressive in the future to try to add players like this. All right, questions?
You mentioned the rebuild, and obviously it's within the organization, took a hit with Kopech having to undergo Tommy John surgery. What does that mean for how aggressive you guys are going to be with Dylan Cease's development?
Not exactly what I was expecting today, but thank you for that. We can talk a little baseball, too. Cease is actually in a pretty similar spot to where Kopech was a year ago in that the stuff is darn near ready to get big league hitters, but from a development standpoint, he doesn't quite have the innings base you'd like to see under his belt. So we're probably going to follow a similar path in terms of his usage this year in terms of building up that innings base, regardless of what level he starts at or finishes at. Certainly, you would expect, given the talent and what he has already accomplished, for him to see time in Chicago at some point, but we're not quite sure when that's going to be. One individual guy getting injured is not going to necessarily impact how you treat a different player, even if they happen to both be pitchers or both happen to be premium talent. You gotta evaluate the risk on each individual guy.
Rick, what would be the next step, and is Bryce Harper possible?
I'm not gonna talk about any individual targets. I've tried my darndest to stay away from talking about that throughout this process. Obviously, a lot of stuff has, more than I would prefer, has leaked out, and we've required us to respond from time to time. The only thing I can say is twofold. Reiterate again, this isn't about one guy. Whether that person is currently in the big league clubhouse or the minor league clubhouse or a future draftee on a college campus or a future free agent target. It never was about one guy. That said, we will continue to be aggressive on premium talent, whether it's international, as you saw us do with Luis Robert, whether it's via trade, like you saw us do on Cease and Jimenez, or whether it's via free agency, which unfortunately we did not convert on today.
When you made that offer to Machado, did you feel like, how good did you feel, how confident did you feel that you might actually get it?
Went to bed last night feeling fairly confident. Not knowing, again, knowing that we don't know the universe of what's out there, knowing that things can move quickly, but based upon the meeting we had yesterday with the agent, which Jerry attended, knowing the improvement to our proposal that we made last night, and knowing the very strong elements of certain elements of that proposal, I went to bed feeling like we put forth an extremely solid effort and that there was a very real chance of converting. That said, you guys have heard me say many, many times over the years, nothing is done until it's completely done, so there's natural pessimism until you get that final phone call. This will come as no great shock, but at 2 in the morning when I couldn't sleep and I was messing around on my phone and I started to have a little cynicism seek in terms of our chances, and then this morning when I was out for my run, that cynicism grew a little bit. And unfortunately, once I got back to the clubhouse, I had a phone call with the representative, and that cynicism proved to be foresight.
Were you told, Rick, what the deciding, I know you're not going to speak for Manny's agent, but the deciding factor, if what Kenny said and what you said, that your offer potentially could have been more than
again, you're going to have to talk to the player about why he makes certain decisions, but I think out of respect, you can't lose sight of the fact that this is free agency. These guys have worked extraordinarily hard to get to this position where they completely have control over choosing where they want to go, which could be for a multitude of reasons, ranging from the magnitude of a guarantee to the downside risk to a family preference about where they want to live. It's not simply a matter of necessarily offering the best contract or the most overall dollars or the highest upside or whatever considerations may be part of it. These long-term contracts are extremely complicated in terms of control, in terms of opt-outs, in terms of flexibility provided to the club and to the player. Any number of those things is Wells' location or personal connection with someone can factor into the ultimate decision. You cannot, and I certainly will not, begrudge a player for exercising the rights they have to choose to go elsewhere. I can be disappointed. I can be frustrated. And when I say frustrated with myself only, because, again, this organization from top to bottom did an excellent job in putting us in a position to convert and to make them have a very difficult decision. Again, for me personally, trying and falling short isn't sufficient, so I'm going to take the next few hours and to continue to be pretty pissed off about this. But the good news is that tomorrow I get to come back through these doors and I get to look around about what's in that clubhouse and who's showing up on the minor league side of minicamp, and I get to have conversations with our scouts about who we're looking at amateur-wise. And I can pretty quickly get refocused on the fact that very bright days remain ahead for this organization. And certainly anything that happened here over the last few months, or certainly over the last few hours, is not going to deter us from continuing to be aggressive at the top of the market. We're not going to convert on them all. I wish we had converted on this one, but it's not going to stop us from continuing to try.
Rick, is it obvious that these things eventually turn into always being about the money?
Again, I cannot say that, because I can certainly look at our offer and say in some elements it's superior. So I don't know what the trigger was in terms of making the final decision. I do not want to say this only comes down to money. That's disrespectful to players who have worked extremely hard to choose a location in free agency based on whatever they care about most, whatever they prefer. I know that we were aggressive, and I know our offer was extremely competitive, and I know I'm standing here right now disappointed that it didn't get it done.
Was there a lot of time in between where there was no communication, where he was trying to get this thing bidded up?
I can't really talk to what the agent was necessarily doing on his side. Obviously, this deal getting done, I don't even know the date, February 18th or whatever it is certainly later than a lot of people anticipated, ourselves included.
With some high-name free agents still available in the market, do you guys expect to be active before opening day, or do you feel pretty confident in your roster as it stands?
Again, I'm not going to talk about any specific guys that are out there. I will say this isn't going to be our last conversation about free agency or about potential trade targets. Whether we convert, I can't predict. Ricky and his staff are preparing to go to battle with the guys in that clubhouse. And Chris Getz and his staff are preparing to continue to develop the impactful reinforcements and potential impact players that we have coming in this organization going forward. The focus of those people need to be on the people in this building right now.
You said
one more for Rick.
You said it's Sox Fest, and there's every organization has a limit. Do you guys have a hard limit on what you will or will offer?
There's not a hard, firm number, limit, magic number. I'm of two minds here. I think Jerry Reinsdorf, for where he was willing to step up to, both in terms of guaranteed dollars, his structure, upside, should be commended for how aggressive he was in the end with us and allowing us the latitude to get to where we felt we put a very compelling deal together. Again, we're balancing a lot of interests in these things. Flexibility, control, guarantee, upside, number of factors that in the end, any single one of those may sway the player one way or another. But in terms of a magic cap of a number, that doesn't exist. There are certain things in a deal that aren't going to work for us for various reasons. We weren't able to get this deal done.
All right, we're back here on the podcast, and you know, now there's the question of Bryce Harper. Feels like he's going to go maybe to the Phillies or the Nationals. I don't want to get people's hopes up that there's a chance that Harper could be the answer, but I feel like they, at this stage in the game, they probably put all their eggs in the Machado basket.
Well, I would just say this. The contract that they offered Manny Machado would probably not be a contract that would get Bryce Harper to the South Side. That being said, with no kind of rule on how much money they can spend to player X, perhaps they see Bryce Harper as more valuable and worth more money, but it does seem at this point that he's probably going elsewhere.
Yeah, and not only that he may get that surpass the Stanton contract that was kind of the Boris and Harper deal plan all along.
Let's see what the Phillies do. Will they put their money where their mouth is?
Maybe, but there's reports that he doesn't like Philly. But look, there were reports that Machado didn't want to be on the West Coast and his wife didn't want to be on the West Coast, and money money talks. It always does.
Han said this isn't the last time we'll be going after premium talent. And, you know, there some of these guys might start signing early and not having to go through this free agent frenzy that we had go on for a second year in a row. But, you know, they'll have money to spend.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest takeaway when you talk about what's next for the White Sox. I mean, I think we talked about it earlier. There might not be a traditional plan B in this offseason, in that it might have always been kind of Machado or Harper or nothing else. I think, though, that there will be other periods of free agency. And then you look at a farm system that is so deep that cannot possibly put all these guys on a major league roster, and you say these guys are guys who could be traded for that premium talent from other organizations. So this is not the last time that you will hear the White Sox name mentioned alongside some of the best players in baseball, and I think Rick Hahn promised that earlier today.
All right, taking a quick break. When we come back, let's hear from John Jay. Yonder Alonso did not speak, but John Jay did. We're back in a flash on the White Sox Talk podcast.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
All right, so after we found out that Machado did not sign with the White Sox, you took the obvious leap to, okay, Yonder Alonso's here. John Jay is here. Let's hear from them. Alonso decided he didn't want to, you know, talk about it. At some point he will. John Jay did speak. He was his longtime best friend. You know, we had dreams of an idea of all three of these guys playing here. Not happening. Here was John Jay speaking with reporters about Machado's decision to go to San Diego.
We knew we had a shot from here, and you know, it's unfortunate he didn't come here, because you know, we would obviously welcome a player like him here. But you know, he made his decision. I'm happy for him as a friend. Obviously, selfishly, I wanted him here as a player, because we know what type of player he is. But you know, now we can turn the page, and it's time. You know, we have our team here. Obviously, additions can still be made, but you know, I'm happy with where our roster is right now, and you know, guys are here in camp and guys are competing, and this is what the Chicago White Sox baseball is going to be.
So you guys are obviously friends. How did you hear the news?
I just found out like everyone else. We were on the field, so I didn't know anything that's going on. So I literally just came in here, kind of heard everything, having looked at anything or anything like that. So, and like I said, obviously we would love to welcome him here, but he's a San Diego Padre now, so we can turn the page and focus on what we have here.
Will you reach out to him?
Of course, absolutely. I'm happy for him. Obviously, you know, from what I hear, he signed for obviously a big contract, all that. So, you know, personally, as a friend, all that, you know, as a player, obviously you want a player of that caliber on your team. But like I said, I'm happy with the guys we have here, and we're looking forward to going out there and, you know, continue to work every day.
John, couldn't he have done a little extra arm twisting, John?
No, there's nothing I could do.
John, there's been a lot of angst among players about these slow free agent markets over the last couple of years. Do you think a signing like this will relieve the tension a little bit on both sides?
I think it actually helps, but you know, the bottom line is spring training started and he's still not with his team out there. You know, he's going to be out there now. So you know, as players, it's pretty simple. We just want to go out there and compete against the best. You know, we want to go out there and compete against the 750 best players. You know, we all take a lot of pride in what we do, and you know, we put in a lot of diligent work that goes into, you know, preparing and getting ourselves on the field. So as players, and I you know, I think I speak for fans too. I'm a fan of the game. You know, I sit home, I watch highlights, I admire other players, and I see other players. I get excited about, you know, hearing about young guys and what's not. So, you know, for the game of baseball, we just want to see the best players out there and show the fans.
Is it uncomfortable for players to have to talk too much about money, because you know, there's a love of the game, that's why you put all these years into it, really to get you to this point?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's tough for us. You know, we just want to play baseball. We wish it could be as simple as you were in, you know, high school and college, where it's like, hey, you know, I went to the University of Miami, I love the University of Miami, let's go play baseball and not worry about anything else. But the reality of things is, you know, we're playing at the highest league, you know, and there's a lot of money involved on both sides of the ball, you know, with the players and the owners, and, you know, just in MLB, so period. So, you know, like I said, it's tough to talk about, and that's to that point when you get to arbitration, it's kind of weird when you have to sit down with your agent and say, oh, well, you're worth this, and they're saying this, and this is going on. It's kind of, the first time you go through that, it's kind of weird, you know, as a professional, but, you know, it's just the name of the game, and, you know, this is what, you know, obviously we make a lot of money for a reason, but you know, like I said, we just want to see the top 750 players out there competing.
Is there a sense in that room? Is there a sense in that room of a little bit of a relief that this has come to an end and you guys can just kind of move on with who you got?
I don't know. I can't speak for the room, but you know, I think for us, like I said, he's a good friend of mine, and you know, obviously, we would have loved to have had him here, but it's over. You know, we just got to turn the page. It is what it is, and we got to just keep on going. And like I said, we are very happy with what we have here, and I think you've seen everyone in the organization say that. You know, obviously, like we said, we'd welcome an addition, but, you know, we're happy with what we have here, and we just got to go forward.
Did you have any conversations? I know you wanted to let him make his own decision, but any conversations that would indicate what the tipping point may have been?
No, I have no idea what happened with anything. You know, I have stayed out of it. Like I said, I've been a free agent for 3 years in a row, and I know, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it, and it's something you make a decision based on your family. I know when I've gone through the process, even my best of best friends don't know what's going on, you know, so, and it's for a reason, because you don't know what's going to happen. You never know, so... You know, it's kind of, I've let that, since I've experienced, I let him, you know, he knows that he can reach out to him if he wanted to or whatnot, but, you know, he handled it on his own.
What is the level of confidence in this room as it's constructed right now?
I think you see, I don't know, you know, I wasn't here last year and all that, but I think, you know, from what you see this year, you see guys bouncing around, the way guys are acting, you see a lot more confidence, which is huge, you know. For a lot of these guys, they had great opportunities to go out there and play every day, and the thing I like about the most is they want to get better. They're not happy with where they were, which is all you can ask for as somebody like myself that's coming in here and trying to make an impact, you know. I've been fortunate to be around a lot of playoff teams, and that's my goal still, you know. I came here to go to the playoffs, you know. We get into October, and we have a chance to do some damage, and you never know what's going to happen. You've seen a lot of teams do it every single year, and, you know, why not us? And if we come in here and we prepare the way we need to prepare, and we're going to have a chance.
John, I know you said that you found out, like everyone else, you guys were on the field, but what was the initial reaction? Was it, you know, disappointment? Was you move on and you just keep going? What was, like, the situation?
Well, there's no really reaction. Like I said, you know, obviously, personally, as a close friend, you know, you want to play with your friends, and that's, you know, that's something you dream about and or whatnot. But like I said, we're so used to, you know, this is a business as well, and, you know, we're professionals, and like I said, it's one of those things where it's like the trade deadline where you hear rumors, oh, this, you might get this guy, this might happen, it's the same thing, and, you know, you just got to adjust and move it forward. So at least we can put it all behind us and, you know, move forward with our squad.
All right, so Guff, your reaction to what John said?
I thought it was good. I thought it was right, you know. Disappointed, but certainly not going to dwell on it. It's not going to affect the guys on the field. As a matter of fact, I think for everyone's sake here, it's probably good that the news, one way or the other, allows them to kind of move on, either with or without him, in this case without him. I think it's kind of ironic or funny, maybe. Maybe nothing's funny today, that Manny Machado ends up going to the team that John Jay and Yonder Alonso used to play on.
That's true.
And not the team that they currently play on, so...
Well, and the team, of course, that Fernando Tatis Jr. plays for as well.
Oh, jeez. Where's your knife? Get it out of my back. Dear God.
It's the logical connection. What do you want me to say?
My jeez.
Yeah. And the White Sox play the Padres here in spring training, so there's going to be that White Sox-Padres Machado game coming up. I haven't looked at the schedule, but that's
Sunday, I believe.
Oh, this Sunday.
No shot Machado plays.
Machado probably won't be there, but I do believe those two teams play Sunday.
Okay.
Machado may not play for weeks. I mean, we don't even know when he's going to report yet, for God's sake. So
wouldn't it be great if Machado showed up like 50 pounds overweight after all this?
The problem is we've seen him for the last 3 months on every form of social media.
Oh, that's right.
He looks like. I think the last thing, my last nugget here. As I think maybe the last thing that kind of hurts a little bit or pains this process is that the White Sox didn't lose to the Yankees. They didn't lose to the Red Sox. They lost to a team that they feel is comparable or better than in terms of market.
I don't think that's that big of a deal, because I think these two teams are set up very similarly in that they have an extremely bright future. They're both trying to rebuild in the way that is trendy right now and trying to get themselves to a championship team. I don't think you can look at it and be like, oh my God, they lost to the Padres.
But
the Padres are willing to spend the money. And that's what it takes. The Padres are willing to spend the money. The White Sox were willing to spend the money. They spent it in different ways, and obviously Machado was lured to San Diego. I don't think that I don't think this is some slap in the face to the White Sox. I think these are the contracts that were presented to them.
And the Padres have spent $488 million. They've spent the most money the last two offseasons on free agents.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, I haven't looked at their farm system too closely, but after spending the $400 million on Hosmer and Machado, they better get some pitching from their system, because they ain't going to be able to buy it.
Eric Johnson still in the system? wasn't he part of the James Shields trade?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
I was trying to make it at least somebody.
Eric Johnson or bust for the San Diego Padres.
And James Shields still available as well.
Wago G.
Bring him in. All right, that's going to be a wrap for this edition of the Therapy Session White Sox Talk Podcast, as they did not get Manny Machado. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We're here for you. Plenty of podcasts to come for Vinny Duber and Ryan McGuffey. I'm Chuck Garfine. Hawk Harrelson is always there for us. The voice of God. Take it away.
Thanks, our Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk Podcast is over.